Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Hisu from the K-drama Mine. She plays like a mother, but she like accidentally has like a lot of energy with one of her castmates, and I love to see it. I wish that was a part of it. That would make this K-drama that's already very good a lot better. But shout out to the K-drama called Mine.
Shout out. What up, Corona?
What's popping, Chungo? Whoa, do that again.
It's Mercury retrograde. We're gonna let this happen.
No, do not let them hear this. This, like, it's embarrassing.
No, nothing is going right. Like, you have no idea. Like, for one, there's a fucking heat wave right now for no reason. And I feel for y'all Texans. I do. I know that like ERCOT or whatever is like really fucking with you guys. But my AC is non-existent right now. And I am like literally going to be drenched in sweat by the end of this episode. And I hope you guys appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, it is pretty hot out there. But how hot is it? Like 90 what?
Here?
Yeah.
No, it's like 80.
What? Are you serious, dude? It's 80 degrees and you're talking about burning up? Bro, we on fire.
Okay, you put yourself in a room. Okay, but you're inside where there's like flowing air. I'm literally in the darkness right now because like even letting in any sunlight, because it's like, yes, it's 80 when you go outside, but when you're in a box,
it's
hotter.
Apartment,
yeah. It's not 80. So it just kind of really fucking
sucks.
It's
like 87 in there. I give it. That's pretty hot. That's pretty fucking hot.
If you do, and if inside. You're sitting in it like a long time, it's not great. Like my roommate's dog has been suffering.
Oh, poor thing. Yeah. So if you didn't know, aside from ERCOT screen with everyone and potentially taking my electricity away in the middle of summer, where I can cook, I guess. Apparently, Greg Abbott just said that like anyone can have a handgun anywhere, just like. I don't think you need a permit. I think you can just carry.
He's trying to make the purge happen in Texas, like IRL.
I think for real that's the deal right now. Like, Texas is slowly becoming like... Y'all hear my dog. I apologize. Retrograde is wild right now. It's wilding.
It's a lot.
Retrograding is Gatorading, you know, like full effect.
Just burnt my salsa. Like, I put my peppers on to like fucking cook and like started doing the write-up on this and I forgot, and now my entire apartment is not only hot as fuck, but it smells like burnt jalapenos.
No.
There's no winning today.
What? Today is horrible.
So it's perfect for the episode that we have coming up for you guys.
Oh my god.
Before we get super depressed, can we just like say happy pride, you know?
Oh, right. Happy Pride,
guys. It's June. We managed to get our shit together enough to actually do an episode. Sorry about the last month.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 5th year anniversary of Pulse just passed.
Oh, Lord.
Just a reminder of, like, fuck, like, this shit is not far from, you know, how it used to be. Like, it's we've only had gay marriage for a little while. Like, there's still a lot of hate. There's still a lot of reasons to have pride, you know, like,
yeah,
there's just so much.
Yeah, there is. It's heavy though. It's heavy. I guess I hadn't really thought about it. I try not to think about it. It's pretty fucked. So, happy pride, y'all.
You know, that last week of June, I think we can finally get our shit together because Mercury retrograde will be over and there'll still be a little bit of pride,
some pride,
and hopefully the heat wave will calm down.
Well, are you doing anything to celebrate for pride?
You know, maybe I would have, but California decided to open up June 15th, and now I'm like really afraid of everything. I went to the grocery store yesterday and like 10% of the people weren't wearing masks. It was just really weird.
Wait, what, dude? Only 10%? Oh, California is
so different
from Texas. I know
it doesn't seem like a lot, but I live in California.
That's so different from Texas. Like, dude, I am like the 10% wearing a mask. Less, maybe there's like 1% people wearing masks now. And it's just like everywhere I go, I think I'm the only person, like dead ass. Like, it's so annoying. It sucks, dude, because you see people who are working and have to deal with assholes who don't want to wear their mask all day. Like, That's just so, like, disrespectful to me, like, to service workers and anyone just, like, trying to, like, pay their bills and go to work and have these, like, jobs that don't protect them. It sucks, dude. My job, yeah. too, including my job. They're not wearing masks. Everyone, like, literally just, like, ostracizes the girl with the mask. And I'm just like, yeah, hi, hello, fuck off. Stay away from me, though. Stay away from me.
It's pretty gross. I mean, and people are getting vaccinated. I get it. But, like, can we ease out? I guess we are easing out. I shouldn't complain that much.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to be outside, but I don't know. Not anymore in Texas.
Man, I'm not going out there. It's hot.
In Texas, it's just the Wild West. Like, good luck to you if you out there, boo. Like, I'm going to just try to probably self-quarantine for a couple months and see how Texas is feeling. Because it was, like, I don't know, dude. It's the Wild West out here.
Yeah. Let's see. I don't know. What have you been watching?
Oh, yeah. So, TV. I've been watching a lot of TV and season twos of things. So, I've been watching Feel Good. I started that. And then I'm also watching Love, Victor, which if you skip over, I don't know, some of the cringy parts, it's okay. It's better this season. What about you?
I liked it. I've been watching a lot of television. Like, I just got Paramount Plus, and I think I binged, like, every fucking thing on there. I'm, like, I'm working on The Good Fight right now, and...
Oh, shit. Pretty... How many seasons?
I think it has 4 or something like that. All the other ones that I've binged, they're only on, like, the first or second season, because I think it used to be, like, CBS All Access, so I watched, like, Why Women Kill... which the first season had like some queer representation, and the second season is just like really good. It gives me Desperate Housewives vibes.
What?
Yeah, okay. It's pretty solid. I can throw you that login if you want it.
Yeah, send it my way, please.
It also had Clarice, which is based on like The Silence of the Lambs. Watched that.
My dad watches that.
Not very queer at all. Not very queer at all.
Oh, I thought I was hoping.
I know. I thought the same thing. Oh, and Equalizer, which is with Queen Latifah.
How is that?
It's fine. Very much a procedural type of thing. Not that queer. Mm. What else do I have on my Paramount Plus report card?
Oh, dude. The Best Thing came back, though, on HBO.
The what?
The Best Thing came back for season
Betty
2.
Betty came back. I can't wait to, like, talk about... There's so much, like... second season stuff that there's talk about, and we'll do that later, but
I'm excited.
Betty's back. I was
Moon Bear.
over the fucking moon.
Yes. It. Yeah.
Very exciting. Fuck, I feel like I don't know. I watched like The Purge season 2, the series.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually really, really good. I was surprised.
I think you told me about that. Yeah, you definitely did. You definitely did. That's something I need to look into. Oh, in news unrelated to not K-pop things, Twice came out with a new album, Stan Twice, y'all.
Okay, that's enough.
You're like, please stop now.
Yeah. This is also kind of late, but I ended up watching that movie New Order that we talked about forever ago. And it was just incredibly depressing. Yeah, definitely did not meet the expectations. It was really, really depressing. Really, really, like, fuck, you know, the military is going to destroy us all.
So you definitely foresaw that in our dystopian future.
What do you mean?
Yeah, is that how you imagine the world will be? Like,
I think I have a little more hope than that. Is that weird? That I think,
no. No,
just,
that's good.
Like, that particular movie was just like, what is the absolute worst case scenario for every fucking person in the world?
Fuck, no, I don't want to watch that.
That's what it is. That's what that fucking movie is.
Ooh, it's no.
Like, what's the worst thing that could happen ever at all? But yeah, anyways, speaking of not depressing stuff, we have our new fucking merch out. I'm actually wearing it right now.
Hey.
It's like a tie-dye shirt and a bunch of like and we got fanny packs and like every single design, and yeah, you guys should go buy it, because I mean, I know at least some of us are able to go outside with some confidence. Might as well look good in some tie-dye shirts.
Yeah, look good while you go try to survive the Wild West. I mean, it's a good look. You look good.
love this shit. I love this shirt. It's like, you know, it's a little tight too, so maybe like get a size up if you want it to be like less tight, but I like my clothes like this. But yeah, let's get into it. I mean, I know you guys probably saw the title and you're probably like waiting for the tea. It's gonna be a lot. I hope you guys kind of like bear with us though. I promise like we'll get to talking about actual stuff that we usually do, which is like the content of a movie. But
this has so much surrounding it though, like we can't
there's so much context, there's so many opinions, there's a lot of criticism, and we gotta
valid criticism
to, so much, yes, and we gotta talk about it. So let's start off simple. What is In the Heights?
Oh god.
Yeah, it's a musical. It came out, I don't know, like before Hamilton, I believe, right? Lin-Manuel did this before Hamilton, and it had a lot of popularity, which probably led to him doing something as big as Hamilton.
Yep.
And then Hamilton was really big, which led to him being able to do In the Heights the movie. So he's just kind of like created his own stepping stones, which is interesting. But I mean, The Heights is also Washington Heights, a neighborhood in New York City that, you know, has a amazing culture and a lot of people who were not properly represented in this film. And from what I hear, not even so much in the original musical. I don't know anything about the musical, right? Like, like, everything is, like, hearsay in a court of law because I don't know anything about the musical. I've never heard of it. I don't like musicals. I really fucking don't. I still watch this movie, but I believe people when they say what they say. So
yeah, who wouldn't though? About
the Lin-Manuel of it all. This isn't like the first time that he's been criticized for a number of things, right? Like, not just for In the Heights, for Hamilton, you know, for other things. He's been criticized before, and you know, this is just kind of like it reaching its peak. I didn't know he was going to be in this movie that much. I thought he was not going to be like,
character. I didn't even know that they were going to give his character that much time, and like, it was
makes sense though.
Yeah, like, I mean, why wouldn't you want to be in it, right?
Yeah,
if someone offers you it, you're gonna say yes. And that's kind of the problem with everyone in this movie, is that it was offered to them and they said yes,
right.
And who wouldn't? But yeah, we'll get into that later. How do you want to, like, let's talk about the good things. There are good things.
You want to talk about the good things first? I think, like, that's last on my list.
You want to do that last? Okay, I'm ready. If you want to do it, let's do it.
Okay, so here's the thing. There was an interview because people have been talking about, you know, like, now it's getting a lot of visibility, but people have been talking about what's wrong with this for a long time, since casting was announced. And
since casting, so
yeah, since like, since we all saw the trailer, you know.
Ooh, the trailer.
Been talking about this for a while.
Wilden.
And like, there's this interview, is it with The Root?
The
is
Root, right? It's with The Root. Shout out The Root.
It's with like a number of the cast members, and with the director John Chu. And like, this question is posed to them like so blatantly, so beautifully, just like, this is the controversy, what do you think? And then they proceeded to grab their foot, shove it in their mouth, and
that's so visual. Oh man,
there's a lot of excuses. I don't know why I've seen, god, what's her name is Melissa, I forgot her last name,
but
she was on Vida, that girl from Vida.
Let's get her name right. Yeah, Melissa Barrera.
I've heard her.
She's Mexican.
Before, yeah, she is. I've heard her speak before in panels, a number of times. And when I've seen her speak before, I've thought to myself, why are they letting her speak?
Oh my god! But yeah, I was at that panel with you. It was very obvious.
It's not even why are you just that one? I've been to a couple of them.
Oh, okay. It's a thing. Wow.
Yeah, she's repeatedly, like, rubbed people the wrong way, I think, in my opinion. All this is in my opinion.
Well, but yeah.
She basically said, oh, yeah, there was a lot of Afro-Latinos in the audition room. But, you know.
Cringe.
We won. The mestizos won.
No.
And John Chu said, that's a great conversation to have instead of having the conversation. So,
oh my God.
Okay. John Chu and Melissa, just dream gaslighting team right here. So that kind of went viral. And a number of other people have now come out to comment. Lin-Manuel, I think, was next on the list to comment and give his apology, I guess, saying that he's listening. Cool. Cool, he's listening.
It's better than a Hey Mamas, Let's Do Research. I mean, actually, I think it's the same thing as a Hey Mamas, Let's Do Research.
It's a Hey Mamas, I'm doing research.
I'm already doing the research. There we go. That's it.
I guess that's the natural next step. Oh, most recently, this just happened, like, for us yesterday.
Yep.
Rita Moreno goes on, is it called the Colbert show, or is it Colbert Late Night with Colbert, I guess?
Late Night with Colbert.
Whatever, yeah. Colbert is doing these days. She went on that, and Colbert, like, deadass was, like,
gave her way out.
Yeah, homeboy was like, so what you mean to say, right, is
he set her up to win. He set her up to win.
There's valid criticism. She's like, I think that, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda is the best, and I love him, and you guys should stop hating and wait a little bit, and you'll get your turn. So whatever the fuck that means, like, basically said, let them be racist.
Yeah, basically, our grandma for one day at a time. What are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing, ma'am? I love you. I really do. This I love and respect you. But what are you doing?
This coming from the woman who literally, on one day at a time, the grandmother on one day at a time, had the line to say, like, there are white people in Cuba. Like, acknowledging whiteness, which is something that never really happens on these shows. But it's like, now you're, like, real life Rita isn't quite there. I don't know.
I mean, she is going to be, I think, 90 or 91 coming up. So when we talk about people that are way behind in conversation, it would definitely be her, like, demographic. So it's like, I got so much love for this lady, too. And I want her to be better. I want her to have conversations with regular people, because I think she's so outside of, like, and out of touch of what, like, the people are on right now. And I don't know. I blame her children for not getting her together, because, like, she shouldn't,
you know,
be on
Mexican,
like,
moms are, they don't listen, or Latina moms, they don't listen to their kids.
I think they can change, though. I think with a good conversation, people can become open, especially if they're open to receiving that knowledge. I don't know where she is on that, but I wish better for her, and for her to not talk anymore about race ever, because she talks about it all the time. When she talks about West Side Story, she's always talking about how they put dark makeup on her. But now I'm like, maybe that was more anti-black than, like, anti-white, you know? Like, maybe she was more mad that they were darkening her skin,
not understanding her own point. Yeah.
So hopefully she has these conversations with people that are real and stays away, or maybe gets a better PR team. Honestly, fire your PR team, get a new one. Get some young people in there, like, change it up and apologize, because you're talking wild, and I can't claim you.
It's important to, like, recognize that thought and that she vocalized, like, is exactly what a lot of people are thinking, and that's fucked up. So I will bring that up in a little bit, but I think mainly what people need to get out of that who are not also in that same mindset, they need to realize that, like, non-black Latinos, they're not the authority on this. Like, they are not the ones who can accept Lin-Manuel's apology.
Facts.
And the one that Rita Moreno will eventually give, and the one that John Chu will probably give. Melissa's not gonna give one.
Hell no.
It's not up to non-black Latinos to dismiss these conversations. Like, it's not our place.
Simply, yeah, but I feel like she's, like, on the wave where, like, I don't think it's not something she's going to understand in her lifetime. I really think she doesn't get it.
It's, like, it doesn't even matter to me, like, her as an individual opinion at the moment.
That's
just
true.
Because it's, like, it's just this general mentality of it that I'm going to kind of get
into. Yeah, that's what I'm getting, is that I'm like, no, there's plenty of people her age who are saying this exact same thing, and they're so disconnected, and their children aren't trying to connect them. Like, come on, y'all are failing these people, too. Like,
it is. So, like, I guess
You want to be anti-black? Start in your fucking house. Start with your fucking family. You need to have these conversations, but whatever. I'm getting mad.
Not anti-black, but like work on anti-blackness. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess, I don't know. I also want to reiterate that like we're talking about this now. Afro-Latinos cannot be the only ones with all of this on their shoulder. They can't be the only ones like putting in the work, yep, discussing these things, putting it out there. They're the ones whose voice matters the most. They're the ones who, you know, do get to have their say on like, yeah, who's forgiven, quite frankly. But like still, like if you're not a black Latino, like you need to do something, do your part. Don't just like sit by silently.
Yeah.
And but a lot of them are. But I want to talk a little bit, if you're cool with it, about the thread that Carmen Phillips posted on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm into it. Let's do it.
Yeah, Carmen Phillips is, she's now the editor-in-chief of Auto Straddle. So congratulations to her.
Oh, wow. Like, okay, mad props.
She's an Afro-Latina, and she had some stuff to say, and I thought it was, like, totally worth, like, reading and, like, highlighting. I mean, it's not, like, I'm going to link it. We're going to link it on our website. So I recommend that everybody goes and just, like, reads it, because she talks about it on a very personal level about from everything from casting to, like, who has played the character of Luz Navi before, which was, like, Jarell Jerome. She talked about a lot of stuff, like,
that would have been amazing. That would have been amazing.
Yeah. Even some stuff about, like, in general, that she liked about it, seeing Tim's on Concrete and things like that, you know, like all the stuff that is kind of true to that community and that is beautiful about it and that was represented. Yeah. There's a lot of great things. Go to that thread, check it out, like listen to what she has to say about what was bad about it, you know, like,
yeah,
we'll talk about a lot of that too. But I just wanted to give that a quick shout out. Another thread that I want to give a shout out to, if you're cool with it, is the one by Carlos Aguilar, who first I was like, why are we already like moving past the discourse? But I found also in this thread that he like writes about a ton of films that you can go find representation in that I bet you haven't fucking heard of.
Yep.
And so I also want to highlight that, and I'll also link that. There's a bunch of movies about indigenous and black people, yep, in this. So I encourage everybody to check those out, and we're going to check those out and hopefully cover some of this stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. There's a lot of interesting stuff in that like thread. So, and it's actual like Afro-Latinos.
Yeah. I think he also makes a point about like, you know, how this conversation can't just die out, which it inevitably will, but it shouldn't.
I don't know. I think the more people make things, hopefully, the more this conversation is had so that something can happen, something can change, it can become, like, normalized, or, you know, it's sad that, like, I don't know, that people are not even, like, I can't fathom this. It's another level, yeah, of, I'm just so upset and disappointed, as per usual.
Yeah. I kind of want to talk about, the greater context of this movie and this controversy in Hollywood, mm-hmm, because like this being such a big picture, a big Hollywood feature, a summer blockbuster, and a really well-funded project, like it's a really big deal. And it's like we mentioned earlier, it's partly because of Hamilton, and Hamilton was loved by white people, which like really fucking, yep, helped that shit, right? Like, at the risk of being like kind of divisive, as they always fucking say, like okay, there is a clear divide in who is responding to this and who's not. Like, there's a people who are putting the problems out there and then like recognizing the positive things, like Carmen Phillips, and yeah, then there are people who are like blatantly refusing to bash this film.
Yeah.
And that mindset, which we talked about a little bit with Rita Moreno, is literally like, it comes from this very small, like close-knit, everybody knows each other Latinx group here in LA, where they're looking at In the Heights as like this stepping stone and like this rare time to celebrate Latinidad.
Wow.
They're seeing this very valid discourse and these criticism as shitting on their little mestizo parade.
Ooh,
like,
man,
like they won't even like acknowledge all the fucked up shit because they're like, no, this is my time, like, you know, like my time to have fun and my time to do this and this and that, which I'm sure you're not, I'm not the only one, I'm sure you've seen things like this, but it poses a really like important question that I've seen floating around. This is gonna be a long ass fucking thing spiel that I wrote out, but
okay, yeah,
just know that in this little spiel, when I say white people, I'm talking about non-Latinx white people. Okay, so just for the sake of
just for this,
like like just for the sake of not having to say non-Latinx 100 times.
Gotcha.
So white people get a hell of a lot less backlash every single time they do some white ass shit, right? And they also get a hell of a lot of room and more money to fuck up, and then they still fail upwards. So what is the fucking issue here, that like Latinx people are, non-black Latinx people are not shitting on their own movies, not shitting on their own stuff, because they think they should have the same opportunity to fuck up like white people do without the criticism? Is that because like they want to like unlock the fucking full powers of their white privilege? Is like, is that what they're looking to? Damn. Like, are they do they want their proximity to whiteness? Like, it's not just like, it's not the problem with Latinidad in general is that, right? That they're just striving to become the oppressors instead of the oppressed. Like, it's just, it's a fucked up thing in this entire fucking community, and it's so disappointing. It's so close by. It's a few miles away, and I know where these people are, you know, like, I know these people in person. We know these people. And
oh, we most likely do.
We know these people.
We do. We do.
So, yeah, that's what this shit is. That's what this shit is about. And that's why there's a clear divide, and that's why if you're not speaking out, I'm judging you.
Yeah, and they're... dude, it's icky. It's icky. And yes, of course, they're just, like, the proximity to whiteness, like... they're going full throttle with it, and we see it. I'm from fucking Texas. It's a different kind of aspiration over here versus California, but dear Lord, it's bad. It's really fucking bad.
I think we've gone like full throttle into shitting on these people.
I think we have. Yeah.
Should we talk a little bit about some of the good things, perhaps?
Did we? Yeah. Well, you wanted to save it for last.
Yeah, I have a couple of things. Do you have anything? I know that.
Okay,
like, I wanna hear, discourse semi aside, how did you feel about the movie?
Okay, so usually I love musicals. In this case, I didn't feel that way. Because cringe, right? I don't think the movie was was poorly done at all. I think actually the actors did, some of the actors who deserve a shout out for acting. Anthony Ramos was Navi. I understand how this could have been different, but I actually really claim him because I feel like he's the only one on the cast to me that felt believable. Like, I know his backstory as a human, and how he got to this point. So him being in this, like, I don't know how I feel yet, but I really like him. And I think he did really well, considering the fact, right, that maybe he shouldn't have been Usnavi, but I really respect actually what he did, and he's a good worker. And I also want to shout out, I believe one of the people that was supposed to be queer, Daphne Ruben Vega, who played Daniela, she played the hairdresser, the hair owner,
the owner of the beauty shop type
the
of
owner
place.
Of the beauty shop. She's actually from the original Broadway play, and I'm pretty sure I'm saying this, but I also see how she could have maybe been casted differently. I do see the problem with casting, but I think she was also very talented and she did a great job. I just want to shout them two out.
The talent was...
From them two? Oh my
from
God.
From a lot of the people was through the roof.
Yeah,
some of them not so much.
Some of them not so much. I'm not going to shout out everyone, but them two specifically, they did that, and that's not their fault. That's casting's fault. It's they did not. Really good, and they're the only ones that I and there's a lot of talented people.
How'd you feel about the story?
The story felt strange and forced. I felt like they were forcing this like Dreamers plot onto this play that was, I think, from 2005, 2008, something like that. the Dreamers thing, the whole not wanting to go to Stanford because she got bullied by a white girl thing, just it didn't feel right. Whoever wrote that part, I believe that those two parts were what was changed from the original production. And I see how awkward it is, and it doesn't go with really anything. So I didn't know what they were doing there. I didn't like that. But
that's interesting. I've heard a lot of really good feedback.
I mean, it was cool to see Maria Hinojosa just like make her cameo. I'm cool with that. Like, I'm always gonna shout that out. But it was strange to me. It was out of place. The story was okay though. Like, I just didn't believe a lot of the actors. I don't know. It's like a hood check thing. Like, I was checking everyone. I know everyone from the hood is not the same. I do not make that assumption, especially when it's not my hood, but it just didn't feel believable to me. It felt like, and I guess it's supposed to be an idealized version of Washington Heights, where everything's beautiful and everyone likes each other. That's cool. That's fine. But like, I just didn't feel like they had ever actually been in Washington Heights before this, like, or in any hood ever in the world. So that's why I was confused.
I've heard people very, very like touched by the DACA representation in such a, especially in such a big scope, from actual like people who are undocumented, and you know how much they felt that.
No. I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying it was strange in this.
Yeah, like, I just want to highlight it as one of the good things on my part, like for me on my part, is like they were pretty adamant and pretty realistic on how hard it is to get legal status. This dude won 90, sorry, this is a spoiler. Somebody came into a whole lot of fucking money and like still was not at all in a place where he could confidently be like, I'm gonna like get legal status for this kid, you know, like, and just like that heartbreaking nature of like realizing how much this limits your life, you know, the line about the license, the line about college, like that, you know, they really let that hit home. And a lot of people who are not in, you know, in the know about these kinds of things are going to see that. So I liked Sonny. I liked his character. I thought his story was powerful, and I thought I'll talk about Nina in a little bit, actually. The other thing that I liked about it was the found family thing. Like, you know, that's something that we talk about in the queer community all the fucking time. But it is kind of something in the Latinx community, too. Mm-hmm. Like, of, I mean, people who don't have the strongest blood relative family relationships. I was one of those people. I turned to my friends' families all the time and was taken care of by them, you know? So I felt that. I'm going to get emotional, so I'm going to stop talking about it. You go.
Okay. No, it's okay. Happy Pride. this is what Pride's about. I think that was beautiful, but I feel like had they maybe put more time into, like, giving him more of a plot, I don't know. I felt like maybe they didn't do service to that actual issue. I feel like it could have gone a little bit, I don't know, give the kid more time, talk about it a little bit more. I felt like it was only maybe talked about twice, and I don't know, I just wish they would have talked about it more. To me, it wasn't that, you know, it didn't work. I mean, to me, it just didn't work because it needed to be longer, and I needed more. It felt like a cop-out, like they just wanted to be current with the time, so they kind of stuck this in really quick, and I feel like they could have really explored that, and that would have been definitely interesting.
I mean, you know, you could only do so much in a couple hours.
I know, this movie was so long too. And
it was fucking long.
2.5 hours.
Some of the
Lord.
What I wrote, like, those were my good things here, my okay things, which was Stephanie Beatriz and, who you already talked about, Daphne Rubin Vega, who are Carla and Daniela. Like, not making it gayer during Pride Month. Like, that's kind of sus. Like, if you had consulted with a gay, then maybe you would have known better than to release this during Mercury retrograde. I don't know, but.
That's what it is. Yeah, they should have waited.
Yeah, no, but they, I mean, the thing is that if you're looking for it, which I was looking for it, you see them being close, you see the relationship.
Yeah, they're cute.
But I think it should have been more obvious, and I think there should have been more queer people in general, because it's fucking New York, you know, like, it doesn't make sense to me, but it was kind of nice to see. It also fell short, you know, what are you going to do? Shout out to like Stephanie Beatriz in real life being queer.
Yeah.
Even though she's had her moments. Another okay thing.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Another good thing to me was Corey Hawkins, who plays Benny, and Leslie Grace, which is Nina. I like them a lot. I like their like whole struggle.
The straights,
yeah.
No, yeah, they get a pass. I thought
that Benny was like so cute.
They get a pass.
I don't know. But one thing I'll mention about it, which is one of the reason that it's not one of my good things, is because from what I heard in the original musical, was like a storyline about Nina's dad being anti-black because Corey Hawkins' character Benny is just black, not Afro-Latino. And sorry, not Latino, just black, you know. And yeah, so there was that erasure. Like they literally took anti-blackness out of the conversation.
Like, that's an interesting decision. That's an interesting decision. It just it didn't sit right.
Like you had a lot of time, but I don't know. So there was controversy there. I thought that the actors, however, were phenomenal. So good on them. Yeah, I don't know. I guess about the story, I don't like musicals, but I felt emotional towards a lot of it. Like, I also kind of looked at it in the lens of, like, I don't know, this does seem, like, way too cleaned up, as you were kind of trying to say earlier.
Yeah.
It was just, like, a little too perfect.
Yeah, like, there was a lot. I mean, and I guess it comes from... not just that, just like the writer. I don't know if this was included in the play, so I wouldn't want to assume that it is or it isn't, but you know, it's just the anti-blackness being taken out. They're not really being like a police presence. When other people, I've heard other people talk about their criticism, they're from Washington Heights, and they said that, you know, there's a very heavy police presence in Washington Heights, and to take them out of a play about Washington Heights seems strange. And
like gentrification existed in such a like weird way. It like it never really made gentrifiers or the police villains at all. Like it didn't try to ostracize these people. It was just like, here are the victims of these things, but we're not going to show those doing the victimizing.
You know, like, what's funny is this reminds me so much. I don't know if this is tea of like a 40-year-old version where she's talking about a similar thing, and that's how she sold out. She was talking about gentrification in the bodega. I think that's interesting, and I'm just not going to go further than that. I'm not going to look further than that, but she's also a playwright in New York, and that's how she sold out in her movie.
Interesting.
Yeah.
She predicted this, Lynn.
She knew. You didn't listen, and she told you.
Yeah.
Shout out to her too, like that's an amazing that's what we mean by representation is her. But like,
yeah, the 40-year-old version, not virgin.
No, yeah, version. We did
an episode on that. Let's try to link it.
She's amazing.
But yeah, this movie, I guess to wrap up, ultimately it kind of serves as a step forward. Like, a lot of people have a credit on their IMDb's, and this discourse has reached a lot of audiences, like very valid criticism reaching ears like fucking Colbert apparently.
Yeah.
And in a few months I think no one's gonna be talking about it except for the people who are already talking about it before.
Yep.
But at least the next Lins of the world can't be like, oh my bad, you know, you can't just hit us with that anymore.
Yeah.
My hope is just that people won't continue putting the blame of Latinidad not reaching the big screen on black and indigenous people or the people that support them, because like the blame lies with white supremacy and those who refuse to fight that.
Ooh, so say that shit. Say that
put
shit.
Put the blame where it needs to be.
Oh god.
That's my take.
That's your take. I ultimately this movie hopefully, you know, got everybody a check. Hopefully launches a lot of careers other than some people that maybe they should take a step and go to therapy and figure out their problems. they got plenty to work on, boo, because you need to not talk anymore. Just stop talking, girl. Stop talking, girl. It ain't for you. Anthony Ramos, I hope you do something, honey. Corey Hawkins has been in a couple things, so I'm going to just hope that that continues.
One talented guy.
Dasha, come on, y'all. Dasha.
Look. Dasha killed it.
I know how y'all feel.
Like, recognize my girl.
I know, right? Like, I know how y'all feel about her, but, you know, I could change her.
She got her own show.
Change her.
She got a lead in a TV show. I forgot the name of it, but it was just announced.
So congrats. I'm so happy for her.
Yeah.
Dasha, come home. The kids miss you.
Shut the fuck up. She knocked her camera over doing that.
I almost knocked this all over. But yeah, like ultimately it's gonna launch a lot of careers, hopefully, and lead to better representation. And you know, Toni Morrison was even anti Lin-Manuel Miranda, and
shout out to Toni.
You don't want, honestly, like, if Toni don't fuck with you, why should I? Like, she was, you know, donating money to other people who were writing bad things, or just, you know, just not fucking with him, not writing with his agenda. And that says a lot about someone's character to me if you can't pass the Toni Morrison test. So I'm not, you know, I'm so happy that he's making it and he's representing himself, honestly. Good job. You did it. You didn't do this for all the Latinos, though, man. You did open some doors. But ultimately, it's just
you
moving.
Created stepping stones for you. So congrats on that.
That's, and hopefully for the people involved in this film, they go make great things. I don't, you know, casting, really, I don't know who you are, honey, but I hope you go to therapy too, honey. It's a lot to work through. I don't think you can't change, but I think you need to go get some help. So
anyways, we're supposed to talk about something else, and it's gonna be quite brief.
Okay.
I don't know if we'll talk about this again in a more like well-rounded way, but I think this conversation reminded me a lot of not a lot, but it reminded me a little bit of the Selena, the series on Netflix, and how that was criticized before it came out as well. Mm-hmm. A lot of those criticisms were kind of something along the lines of, like, why is the family still doing this? Or the cast is trash. Look at those wigs.
Reba in
most
a wig.
Importantly, most importantly to me was who's writing and creating this show. Like, for example, a lack of Texan representation came up. And, ooh, you know, when we were having those conversations back then, you know, nobody was getting, like, up in their feelings about Latinidad being trashed, you know, mm-hmm, because it was fucking valid and it was fine. So maybe check yourself on that. Mm-hmm. An article actually recently came out in the LA Times where a lot of creators, specifically from Selena and outside of Selena, Latinx ones, were talking about how money has been such a barrier in Hollywood, mm-hmm, and how it was in Selena. They were a lot less funded than, like, other Netflix shows, like, a lot less from what I saw. The writers were underpaid, they were underneath the WGA standards, and they were overworked. So, that was all, yeah, very valid, very interesting stuff, like, great, make your point, but the article didn't even begin to touch upon anti-blackness in the community, or Black Latinos, like, to at all. Like, it was such a mestizo lens, and it even kind of felt like assumed that our Latinos are brown, even though a lot of the people that were speaking out in this article were actually white, and they were just very adamant that they want Hollywood to hurry up and give Latinx creators what they need to be successful. But, like, where's the acknowledgement that they're behind, too? Like, hurry up and work on that anti-blackness. Mamas, do some research.
Didn't they completely remove, like, one of her, like, hairdressers or stylist friends that was a queer Black man from, like...
I don't know that story. I don't know.
Oh, I'll try to find that. I'm sure it was a Twitter thread from 3 years ago. I'll look for it. There's Black erasure even with what Selena does in general with her merging of hip-hop and merging of, like, Janet Jackson style and putting it with, like, whatever she was doing. Like,
how interesting.
There's a lot of her musical styles, like, what made it so good is that she took from R&B. So there's a whole nother conversation there.
Huh? Yeah. I mean, since we're getting back to Selena a little bit, like, mm-hmm, we never really covered it, and there's only two parts or two seasons of it. The first one got criticism, too, because it was through such a male gaze. Like, this... the machismo jumped out. Oof. In that writer's group. Like, there was such a, like, heavy criticism about her not being the main character. And with part two, it seems like they paid attention, which was really interesting. The show suddenly became about Selena and her ambitions and her struggles and her achievements. Although sometimes it kind of felt a little bit like you're going down her Wikipedia page. Word. At least it was Ooh. About her.
Ooh, that hurt. Dang, y'all fucking up for real.
But Ooh. It did feel personal in some of the small moments, you know, like I have to give season two a lot of credit, or some credit, as opposed to none of the credit that I want to give in the first season. but just notice how, like, there just wasn't, like, anger about, like, what they looked like and stuff like that, because they're, you know, the Dinos, they pretty much looked like that, you know, but Washington Heights doesn't look like that, so you know, recognize the differences here, you know, like, what where you're fucking up. So Rita Moreno, it's not we can't do anything right, it's you fucked up and gotta yeah. own up to it.
Yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear about, not to change the subject, but I feel like it's kind of along the same lines of people speaking up and it getting ignored, is that there was a similar issue happening with Kim's Convenience?
I barely read on that, so enlighten me.
It's this kind of the same thing. So the woman who plays the mother, the actress, she spoke out publicly and said that there was like an anti-Asian joke that was just like, had one of them saying the anti-Asian joke. She talked to the writer, she talked to the showrunner and was like, look, we can't do this, or like, hey, this food's wrong, like these things aren't like actually correct, like you guys are kind of fucking up our like culture. And they completely like blatantly ignored her and just started kind of like, fly away from here, woman. And so and then the writing room was predominantly white cis male.
Yeah,
on a show. Canada. Yeah, so here it goes again, and I had to stop immediately watching Kim's Convenience at episode like 3, and I was just like, I'm gonna stop now, that was enough for me. So
yeah, that sucks, because like there was some, I did finish that last season, and there was some stuff that was really, really good and made me look really forward to what would have been a next season. It kind of ended abruptly.
Because
they finally brought queerness into the mix, like finally, and it's just like very disappointing. Simu Liu was very like openly upset about this, right? Like,
yeah, he's how they treated it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did a Constance Wu whenever she was pissed off at her show, but I guess in a different way. But you know, he's going on to do Marvel stuff, so that's kind of cool. Hopefully that goes somewhere, but.
Oh yeah,
it's really disappointing here.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty sad, and it goes back to who's running this ship, like who's in charge, who's casting, who's in the writing room. So there's a lot happening there, just across the board. It's been Mercury's been mercurying, you know.
Yay. Retrograding.
Gatorading. Yeah. Haterating. I don't know. I haven't said that word since I was like 10. But yeah, here we are.
All right.
Sorry, y'all. Oh, man. It's been weird, heavy. Y'all.
I feel like people are gonna be like, half are gonna be like mad at us, and then half are gonna be like
confused
with us. Yeah, the other half are gonna be like having to replay what the fuck I'm saying, because jargon. I don't know.
Yeah,
I hope you guys don't hate us. So we're about to do some Patreon shout outs for people that definitely don't hate us. They love us and we love them.
Yeah,
so let's do this.
Let's do it.
All right, well, I'll let you go first with your Concha Gang.
Concha Gang was good. Shout out to Jessica. Shout out to Marisa. Shout out to Valerie Gang Gang. Shout out to Kikis. I love that name. Shout out to Michelle. Shout out to Rosaura. Shout out to our brother Beto. Shout out to Chrissy. Shout out to Marimar. Shout out to Rasi. Am I just going in? I'm just going with everybody, right?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going with everybody. So and also shout out to Joe, what's good? You can hear me now. I love you. Shout out to my baby mama Glow. Shout out to Maria. Shout out. And then last but not least, shout out to R. We love you.
Whoever you are. Cafecito gang, we have Justin or Favi. We miss you. We miss hearing you.
Oh man, yeah.
Shout out to Baby Dojo Negoro. I never know if I'm saying that right. Shout out to Zulema. I think you're fairly new, so welcome. Shout out Edith, Chris, Noel, Alicia. You guys have all been around for a long time, so mad props to all of you. Shout out to the homie Mari, who always comes through.
Hey.
Mireya, I know she's got still gang. I saw that she got that new merch. Sarah and Emmanuel, thank you for joining the Arcoiris team. You guys are our greatest supporters, and you know, if you guys want stickers, just like hit me up anytime, you know what I mean? I got you.
Just let us know.
Yeah, I know we haven't been posting a lot, but we have posted on our Patreon, especially really recently, a really fun little episode. So if you guys want to go listen, you can join us at patreon.com/CYC podcast. We also have that linked on our website, Gabinas de Chingonas, and on our bios, and probably in the description of this. So keep listening, keep leaving reviews. It helps us stick around.
Yes, we love y'all, and I'm Fried Papita. You can find me at Fried Papita. And support, we got new merch. It'll make you look cute.
I am Maite, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Maite Panda. Bye, guys.
Bye.